Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have another segment of talking about knowledge is power. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Knowledge is power, and this is a Friday, and you know what that means. We are going to be bringing it to you hard and heavy. We're going to try to hit home base with you, knowing that you have an opportunity to practice self-help. That means that you can close the gap of disparity, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we are Project 2019. Our slogan is Knowledge is Power. This month, we are going to be working with all of the president chapter leaders for Project 2019. We are also soliciting for new project leaders who are able to carry out the mission that knowledge is power. You know, we are trying to reach disparity by 2019, closing the gap that will be the 400 years of us coming out of slavery. We don't want to look over our shoulder and talk about all the negative things. We want to talk about what is just up ahead of us, meaning that we are now able to read unsolicited, unmolested. We are now able to enroll in college campuses, go into universities without having to spend our time in cellar basements going through universities. We are uninhibited African-American people. We can go to college now. So the main thing we must impress upon our young people, that they must enroll at the grade of fourth grade into these pre-college programs that will prep them for their college experience and let them know, even as an African-American individual, that they can excel in college. Mothers, you are going to have to start early and enrolling your children in the pre-college program. They are free to those lower socioeconomic family members. Some of you can ascertain these programs free of charge. Then there are others who are over the financial guideline who will have to pay. But nevertheless, enroll your students. Give them a chance to work throughout the year and doing seminars, symposiums, and workshops, field trips, and all sorts of things through the fourth grade all the way till the age of graduation in 12th grade. Get them involved now. Some of them also can come on college campus at the grade level of 11th and 12th and stay on college campuses in the summer. Isn't that great, parents? They get an opportunity to understand what college is like to give them a feel for it. Now, check with your local universities. I know in here in Indiana, there's Indiana University that has a pre-college program. Out in Whitewater, Wisconsin, there is a pre-college program. There are pre-college programs all over. All you need to do is do a little research. This is self-help for you. Get your children started now. Our whole goal is to get as many African-Americans enrolled in someone's higher level of institution. Now, those of you who have had a lot of work experience and want to be given credit for your work experience, there are even non-traditional programs that are available that will allow you to take your life experience and get credit for. Now they're even creating books that you can read that will allow you to get CEU credits and get 15 or more of those CEUs credit that will allow you to get one college credit upon reading several books. That's available too. Now, you adults who are sitting at home doing nothing saying you can't find jobs, jobs truly are leaving this country. But if you don't have higher level academic training, you are going to be at the lowest totem pole and won't have a chance at even having employment. And don't just say they're discriminating against me. If they put in the criteria in the records that you must have a high school diploma in the human resource department when they start recruiting and soliciting for employment, you better believe if they want to discriminate against you, all they have to say is you must have a college degree. That automatically excludes you from the opportunity to compete. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give you a chance to compete to talk about what happens in the recruitment stage on college campuses, what happens to your records, and also what happens when you apply for a job at these institutions. How do they handle your records? How do you know that you have not been discriminated against? And how do you know that your transcripts and your records and application may be thrown in the trash? And what rights do you have to request your records? And how long should they keep your records on file? We're going to talk about that in a second, ladies and gentlemen, and then we're going to go right into self-help books that you can find on the Nolan Book Publishing, free of charge. You can read them, and there's one in particular I'm recommending today. Now, you need to know what your rights are as an applicant who is looking for employment. You need to know what your rights are, and some of you are also going to be going out there putting in your application for internship. Guess what, buddy? You got to have a certain grade point average to get into those internships. That's right. I was just schooled by somebody recently. I was under the impression that just being a junior or a college graduate, that was the only thing you needed in order to be a part of intern. But I was wrong. There is a grade point average requirement, and we're going to talk about that in a second. So why don't you get out your transcript, why don't you get out your resume, your portfolio, and I'll be right back at you in the atmosphere in just a minute. Hold tight. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. And we're back in the atmosphere, and you have your advocate here, Omiinka 7. I am also your advisor, the one you need. I am also your emperor. I'm here to serve you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been talking about knowledge is power. Now, we're also going to focus on what are the self-help tools that a paralegal can offer you, and what types of things can a paralegal assist you with. Now, I am going to indicate to you that more than likely, you are familiar, I'm hoping you're familiar with the fact that there are self-help stores. You can find them online or you can find them in various different bookstores. And some of these self-help stores, they hire paralegals to type in information for you, not to give you advice what to print. They will even direct you to certain chapters in the books where they have books for sale. Now, paralegals sometimes run their own self-help bookstore, and they can purchase these books and allow you to utilize the books or purchase them yourself. They can either offer you the service for typing in their location or business office, or they could give you the book to take home to type for yourself, or you could pay the fee for utilizing their typewriter right there or computer in their office. Now, paralegals were created, people, to aid you and assist you. They are not to act like lawyers. In the event that you are stumped in any way, they are to refer you to an attorney. They are not to give their advice, their opinion, because it can be misconstrued as operating without being a member of the bar. And that is something we never, ever, absolutely never, triple double never do, because we are not paid the kind of salary to operate as if we are an attorney. We do not operate in trial law. We are not a part of the bar. There are things we just can't do, and giving advice is one of those. We only assist you, and we can prepare those documents by typing per your instructions. Now, if you don't give us any instruction, then we must hand it back to you and ask you, what would you like done with this material? Or how would you like these documents filled in? Now, I'm going to tell you some tales out of school. I'm an old-time paralegal who was in the profession many, many years ago. At that time, my specialty was educational law, and I operated with a social worker who became an attorney. And she and I operated in the areas to serve families with special needs who were sometimes suspended, given a Title 20, and were trying to get back in school. This was a crucial thing, and that meant you had to fight viciously and rapidly because students were out of school. So our jobs were to collect documentation, or my job was, collect documentation. And at that time, paralegals were allowed to do due process hearing. Due process hearing is like a trial proceeding. However, it's not in a court of law. It's usually in the school system somewhere. You have the due process hearing and the arbitrators and the mediators. Mediators cannot give any advice. They can only collect information. They are neutral parties. They cannot make any recommendation. Now, they have no authority other than to collect the facts. However, when it goes over to an arbitrator, the arbitrator is empowered with knowledge to make a decision after you've had so many times of dispute. Now, arbitrators work in the school system. And sometimes, more than not, they are teachers who have been assigned to become state arbitrators and educational arbitrators. I worked in that category because of my degree in education. However, my paralegal credentials were obtained so I could work in taxation and corporate law. So in working in taxation, I had all that experience in corporation, but in the midnight hour, I guess you would say, when I moonlighted to do due process hearing and work with other attorneys to help them in the school situation. Now, there's many different areas of concentration, paralegals, if you're interested. There are areas that you could look at in public benefit, which works with SSI or SSA. There's also elder care law, that you can work with elderly people and trying to read their benefits and helping assist them in their pension payments. Now, at the same time, there's litigation. There is also the area that you can work in where you work in business law, where they're doing various different things, and family law, landlord-tenant activities, and there's bankruptcy and probate. Now, there's also immigration law. There's many areas of law. Some paralegals are trained as a generalist, and they learn everything, and they determine what their specialty is upon graduating. I was a generalist. However, at that time, my desire was to go public benefits because I had had a substantial amount of background in working with medical records, medical malpractice, collecting medical records to read what the diagnosis was to help the lawyer come up with a diagnosis, looking at the medical records to see what type of disability a client had. So those are some areas, paralegal. You can do self-help in any of those areas. Now, there are certain programs out there, if you're interested, there are programs that are programs for graduate-level students. And to enroll in a 6 months to a year program, you have to have a bachelor's degree. So it's an ABA program, meaning that you come with a bachelor's degree. You cannot just walk in and get a two-year associate in an ABA program. However, there are two-year associate programs for those people who don't have a bachelor's degree. But if you want to go accelerated and you have a bachelor's or a master's, you can go the six-month route. And in that six-month route, it gives you a post-baccalaureate credential. Now, are they getting are paralegals licensed? In some states, they mandate licensing, and some states, they don't have licensing. Now, if you've obtained a certificate and a credential giving you credit hours for being in a program, that is usually what is required to get you in to corporate offices like Motorola. They will have a paralegal who is administrative paralegal who oversees all the paralegals, or you can work as a contracted paralegal and you can contract your services out. Now, in most places like Chicago, the paralegals that are independent, when I was actively involved, the paralegals were making anywhere between $45,000 to $50,000, and there were one or two that were making $60,000 because, believe it or not, paralegals have to hustle. They do the bulk of the grunt work, and they're paid considerably well. Now, if you're part-time and you're only taking contractual work, that's a good thing, too, to get yourself started. I am a seasoned paralegal. I work for a corporation, so that gives me seasoned background as well as independent contractual work with other attorneys in elder care law, as well as working with some of the attorneys in areas such as public benefit. Now, I've been out of the picture because I've been teaching school, but I'm dusting off my old credentials and getting back in the game again. What does that mean? That means I'm marketable. That means that some people know me. That means that some people knew the work I used to do. In addition to doing paralegal work, I was also an advocate, where I did so many of these services for free in the area of advocating for families in the school system and assisting and aiding them. That meant I went to bat for parents if their children were suspended and they needed help getting services. Paralegals, you have to remember this is a servant's job, and it's not always glorified where you're sitting in the office like a secretary. You're not a secretary. You are one that does research, collects data, assists the attorney. Sometimes in the area of public benefit, you can go in as an advocate and represent the client in an SSI or SSA case. That's a full-blown trial case. Now, that is a regulation that if you're an advocate and they've selected you as an advocate, you can go in and represent them. What other things can you do? Can you practice law? No. However, if you wanted to give yourself a divorce or work with somebody else in getting a divorce, you can assist them as long as there are no discrepancies in that situation where there is child support involved or discrepancy over furniture, cars, material gain. If it is a non-contestant situation for divorce, then yes, you can give yourself a divorce. Now, there are clinics and there are also agencies, self-help agencies that will allow you to come in under certain days and work with developing the paperwork for your own divorce and document it. I have completed a divorce document myself, and I know that it is tons of paperwork. You must know what you're doing. If you do not, you need to consult an attorney if there is some contested issues in that divorce. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. You're not an attorney, but you can act as a pro se representative who will speak on behalf of yourself in court, but you must meet all timely deadlines. You must file all documents, and you must also read all documentation, interrogatories, answering the questions, responding back, submitting your motions when you want something changed. You must know what you're doing. So this is no game. This is not a cakewalk for those people who want to become slouchy and lazy. The court has no respect or patience for people who don't acknowledge the criteria and the documented timeliness when things have to be done. You can't go telling the court, I didn't know, I didn't have an attorney. Once you make up your mind to be a pro se representation, you must follow all guidelines. It's simple as that. Now, let me go over here and tell you a little bit about employment law, because I know a lot of you probably are wondering, what is the will to work state? And what does that mean exactly when someone goes to work? That means if you want to in certain states, you could quit without giving notice. And also you could be fired for certain reasons, for no reason without giving notices as well. Now, the will to work states are different from other states. Other states must give you a warning. They must give you a verbal warning. They must give you a written warning, and their procedures. So we're talking about records now. Now, there is a book out on the website page. When you go to my blog talk, you'll see the book that is written there on records, and it's talking about the personnel corporate records handbook. Now, that handbook tells those people exactly what they can and cannot do in personnel. What is personnel? It's human resource. It's where all the records are kept. And predominantly, if you submit an application, your records should stay on file for at least 6 months to a year. So when you go back to inquire about a position, you can ask the corporate office or you can ask the human resource, do you have my records? Sometimes they have the right to dismantle those records, dispose of them, and call you back and ask you to update them. However, while you're in the middle of applying for a job, you have to be very, very careful. Look at what the criteria are for that job. Look at the job listing. See if you match all of the literary requirements. If you find that you met all those criteria for the job, and if you find that your credentials are in order for your degrees, your transcript, and you have met all criteria and you've asked to entertain an interview and you don't get an interview and you find out that you're the most qualified for the job, but somebody got the job of less criteria, less background, and they got the job and you can prove that your criteria and background was far greater than theirs, and you didn't get an interview, you could really call a corporation on that. And the reason why I'm telling you that is I had to call a corporation at one time. And if they've overlooked your credentials or your skills, and you pinpoint it and bring it to their attention, you can go over their heads, and you can address their authority, and their authority has a right to bring you back in and say, I'm sorry, you do have the criteria. We'd like to invite you in for an interview. You have that right, and you must know that. There are so many people who are filing applications, and they're submitting applications for a job. They don't know that they have rights, even in an interview and when you're being selected. Now, it's up to the corporation to make a decision on who they want to hire, but they must have fair hiring practices and they must be consistent so that they are not discriminating against those people who really have their credential. Now, let me say this also. They're not only looking for your transcript, they're looking for your GPA. And they can set the criteria for your GPA and how well you're doing and what they want on the GPA. They can set some of those criteria. Unfortunately, when I was out looking many, many years ago, when you came in with the criteria of a GPA, they also wanted to look at your GMAT and see how well you did on the graduate records exam. And these are things that they're looking for internships. If you're looking for an internship and they're fellows, believe it or not, they're people who come out of school that could go into a program called the fellow program, which would allow you to do a post-baccalaureate one-year program where you're rotating in each corporate office and department. And preferably those are the postgraduate programs that most African-Americans never end up in because of the fact that they don't know they exist. Like at the Mayo Clinic, for example, a broad business program, post-baccalaureate program for a fellow to work in a rotating program for 3 years. Now, what does that mean? You need to get online and you need to find these programs. There's a government program. There is a government program that allows you to work for the Obama office for 1 year. It used to be 1 year. Someone told me it's changed to 2 years where you become a fellow. You work in the White House. You work there at the fee of $75,000 a year. And it might even be more now. But you can only stay there for 2 years. After 2 years, they kick you out. You should have made enough contacts, and you should have been able to meet enough people to find some connections to get a job. But nevertheless, I never hear African-Americans talking about these programs. Now, even the government has a program in the GS-12 position that will bring you in as a GS-9 and let you rotate for 3 years in three different capacities and work for them. And then you have a choice to renew your license to stay there, or you could ask to go back to the state, or you could transfer to another overseas position. Those positions, somewhere around a bachelor's degree or an associate degree in child development, predominantly they look for a bachelor's degree when they're working in a GS position. And they range anywhere from a GS-4 all the way up to a GS-13. Those are the jobs you ought to be inquiring about. Now, what are you talking about, Omi? The records, the handbooks. In the handbooks and records, you must also know something about the regulations for human resource. What are the guidelines? What are your rights? What are your abilities to perform on tests? You have got to take a class in interviewing processing. Some students, right on their college campus, they have the various different corporations come out, introduce themselves, take applications, and then go and make their selection based on your GPA. Is that fair, you ask? Is that the only thing they should be looking at? Most of you don't have work experience, so predominantly that's all they have to look at is your GPA. Now, those of you who have gone out and gotten all of those contracts and work ethics on the side and develop you a portfolio, you might have a better chance of getting the job. But what are they looking for? They're looking for somebody that can mold. They prefer you don't have the work experience so they can mold you into their own cast. But you still have rights, and you need to know what those rights are. If your GPA is high, then you apply everywhere you think you can. If you find out you don't get an interview and you solicit for one and they don't call you in, call them back and ask them, sir, I'd like to know, did my background criteria meet with your requirement. My GPA was blase, blase. My transcript indicated da, da, da. You should be able to confront the Human Resource Department to ask them, what are you looking for? So I'll know in the future what I need to bring into your corporation. Do we have a match? Sometimes you will find that because the administration admires the fact that you stood up to them, they will solicit you an interview and call you in. If there is a job you want, don't think that it's strange that you should have to go back and call the Human Resource Department a second time. They are very much scrutinizing every transcript now because they're very far and few jobs. But if you think you're the person for the position, you're going to have to be a little assertive, and you're going to have to search yourself. That's another thing. You need to learn how to develop assertive behaviors. What paralegals can do, they can interview their clients. And in interviewing a client who is very, very passive, they could suggest, you might want to be a little bit more assertive when you're talking to someone. Assert yourself, speak positive, and speak clear on what you believe. And don't let anyone back you into a corner, because paralegals interview you, and they're trying to get as much information to put down in the record so that the attorney will know exactly what to go after. This is a battle you're in. You are fighting. So you want to bring all documentation to the interview. You want to bring everything you know about the case. Now, cases become gruesome. Now, I wouldn't even venture to say that some of you have also had workers' comp situation, been injured on the job, but didn't know you had rights, didn't realize that that company is responsible for taking care of you. You must immediately understand that there's a statute of limitation that you must get to an attorney as quickly as you can so that he can help you. You've been in and out of a job. Don't just say, oh, it's okay, I'll get over it, I'll be okay. No way. You paid into some disability claims that are on the job with the corporation and possibly even some private disability claims. You need to immediately pull your claim, see what your rights are, go into Human Resource and fill out the proper paperwork for your injury, go to your doctor, make sure he fills out the proper paperwork and bring it back to work and start the process of obtaining you a lawyer so that your lawyer can tell you how to proceed. Now, you also have rights to the fact that if you have a workers' comp case, you have to understand that they can't discriminate against you. While you're off on medical family leave, they can't give your job up, or they have to have the same preferable job waiting for you when you come back. If you don't start exercising these rights, your rights will be taken away, and you'll lose employment. Now, there's another problem that's happening. There are people retiring early, and they're retiring predicated on a disability. And sometimes you have your pension money set aside waiting for you, but Social Security won't release your Social Security because you need to have an onset date of when you were injured and when you became disabled. If they have no date, they keep denying you, and you keep appealing it, you cannot get your full pension, because they want to see your Social Security money at the same time so they can package it. So what do you have? Here you are in the process of retiring, and you only get your 401K. You can't get your pension, so now you can't live off of that. Then you say, well, I'll tell you what, I rescind the decision to go back to work, and when you try to do that, there's no job there for you. So what do you do? Do you go on unemployment? You're entitled to it. You're certainly entitled to it because you didn't quit. You did send a letter in where you rescind your decision, so now you're eligible for unemployment. But when they withhold that unemployment and tell you you can't have it and you got to work four more quarters to be eligible, it's wrong. It's dead wrong. And somebody ought to be saying it to the unemployment office because they are hijacking people's money. Now, be it as it may, here in Indiana, they're going to take 20% of unemployment. There's so many things that are going on that are not right. that you can seek an attorney for. Now, that you got to seek an attorney for. And then there's also problems where people are losing their home. They're out and out losing their home. They need to seek an attorney to fight for their homes. They need to seek an attorney and find out what are the recourses they have. I'm telling you this because their records in the human resource file that they are to use and guidelines that they are to be guided by in order to hire you. They cannot discriminate against you and not follow the regulations. Now, I'm saying to you, you've got to know your rights too. And you've got to be able to access government books and read. And you've got to go to attorneys and ask them, have I been violated? And if I have, can you assist and aid me and show me what I should do? With the pro bono lawyers, 9 times out of 10, it's very, very hard to find them unless you go to a clinic. You need to lock yourself into a clinic. And I didn't say prepaid legal. I say lock yourself into a clinic if you're eligible for it based on your income. And you should also always have an attorney. And don't just depend on a pro se paralegal. Have an attorney. Spend some money because you're going to need an attorney in these days and times because people are going to try to cheat you. And when they do, you need to know your rights. You got to have some power, and knowledge is power, and you need to know what your rights are, because if you don't, pro se can't do it for you when you don't know what to fight for. Learn what the lawyer does. Let him show you how to help him and walk through things and research and collect documents with the lawyer. He will sometimes let you do these things along with him to cut the cost. That will show you what you're up against and how to do things, like a motion. Sometimes they'll ask you, can you type the motion? And then I will lower the fee. Sometimes the attorneys will show you what documents you need, but you have to fill in the blank and type them. I don't want to have to find out that you're losing employment because you don't know your rights. You have to go into the employment department. You have to ask them, what does the regulation say in the employment hiring and firing? You have to understand what the state regulations are, like the will to work state. Do you have the right to quit? Do they have the right to fire you? You need to know all those things. I don't want you to be dismayed and let somebody cheat you or disrespected you. Knowledge is power, and there is no ignorance of the law. When you're a reader, you'll find all these things out, and you will be pleased with yourself when you find out that you stood up for a just cause and you found out you held on to your job. You have to understand, unions are leaving. There used to be a time when unions would stand behind you, and no matter what you did, you could find something in the union handbook that taught you that you had rights. Then you could go and quote certain chapters out of the union handbook, and it would be all right. But now they're saying that you cannot lobby for unions. You cannot lobby for rights that you have because they're trying to eliminate the unions. So what if they eliminate the unions? What rights do you still have, and how can you fight for them? You need to learn that. And you need to go out there and find out what they are and be ready to come back in here and tell me about it on the next occasion. I got to catch this train. I don't know about you, but that train's down the road. I'm going to say a double to you. Hold up, train. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Hold up. All right, get on this train. You better get on this knowledge train. Get on this knowledge train. People, get on the knowledge train. Knowledge is power. You said somebody took your unemployment? Get on the knowledge train and find out if you can appeal it. Somebody won't give you your pension money? Get on the knowledge train and find out what you can do to appeal it. Somebody's holding up your Social Security, you said? Get on the knowledge train and figure out how you can get an attorney to help you. Don't take this thing laying down, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to fight for your livelihood. You don't want to become a degenerate. fight for your livelihood. Get an attorney that's a fighter and get out there and fight with him. And on that note, I say, oh, devil. Baba Booey to you, y'all. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, knowledge is power. You're going to have to fight and stand up for your inalienable rights when it comes to employment law. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to forget to dedicate a glass of water to my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I want to dedicate a glass of water to my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I light a candle for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe. I light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, my prayer is that you would prosper, and as your soul should prosper, I say that you should stand up for your rights and know what your inalienable rights are. It is no excuse to be ignorant these days because knowledge is everywhere and information is plentiful. Find out what your legal rights are in the employment sector. Find out how you can get your jobs back, how you can get your unemployment back if they withheld them, and appeal everything, like Omi said. Don't let anything go without appealing it. You have a right to have a livelihood, and if you're a dependent, you don't have to pay one dime because you are to be taken care of if you've fallen lower than a refugee. You don't have to be a refugee in the United States. There are too many of us are functioning like refugees. Lift up your head, all you people, because your time has arrived. All you need to do is put your foot to the grind, find information, find a good attorney, and stand up for yourself and fight and come out like a badger. You can do it. I know you can. Catch that second train. Here we go. We got to get down here. That train's waiting for us now. This will be the last time that train's coming. Come on, get on board. This is the knowledge train. And for those of you who don't have it in you, I'm going to help you become bold and become assertive. Get on the train with me for that knowledge train. Come on down the road. Fight for those jobs. Stand up for what you believe. Don't let them take your jobs away. They're moving them over to China. We got to get them back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here for real this time. All right, I'll see you. Take care. Bless you and fight for your inalienable rights.
They cannot be trusted in this most great day of the world.